looking over you right now.
Whoa. Was that you, Rob?
Hey. Yeah, sorry.
Welcome. Yeah, it's all right, buddy. I got you. Welcome to another edition of the Monday Night Kickoff. I am your host, Charles Levi, a.k.a. Redfish Chuck. I appreciate you guys joining us tonight. I'm going to go straight to the phones in just a second. We've got a special guest joining us tonight, a very good friend of mine, Troy Denson. He is the owner, operator of Mount This Fish Company, Global Fish Mounts. If you guys need any fish mounts done, Troy's your man. He sends them all over the world. It's not a big deal for him to ship them. So, and he does top quality work, man. I've seen this stuff. It's absolutely incredible. First off, I'd like to say that my thoughts and prayers, and I'm sure the rest of you guys are in the same boat, are with all those up in the Northeast that are dealing with the floods. And, man, that's a nasty situation. I think something like 35 people have lost their lives now, either through the floods or with down trees and such, so it's definitely bad, man. It's going to take a while for those guys there to rebuild. So, did you see that, Rob? Did you catch any of that news footage?
What's all going on up there? Yeah, I was kind of, I've been checking all the Facebook status updates, and everybody see. I know probably more people in the Mid-Atlantic that fish than I do around here. So, I thought that was pretty funny. Not funny, but I'm glad that everybody, you know, did okay. Jeff Madre and, the landing crew is up there in Virginia Beach, and Mark Lozier and a bunch of other people up there, man. Rob Choi, you know, and everybody seems to be okay. But what they did is they kind of just blazed over all of those areas that got hit, and oh, my God, it's coming to New York. Ah.
Right.
So I was kind of a little bit mad about that, you know, because, here's some aerial views of Hatteras. Now let's go to New York City, Long Island. You know, the mayor is telling everybody to evacuate. Ah.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous.
Bigger market,
I mean,
up there.
Yeah, I guess, what do you expect? I mean, it's New York City, whatever. Anyhow, going straight to the phones, I got Troy on the line. Troy, you with me?
Yeah, man, how's it going?
It's going good, buddy, good.
Good.
Quick, real fast, give everybody kind of a rundown about what you guys are all about over there at Mount This.
We're a full-service fiberglass fish replica company. We make a few different types of fish mounts. We do the half sides, which is more for, like, decoration, you know, if you want to decorate your business or even your home if you're not trying to commemorate, you know, a specific catch. And then we do two-sided wall mounts, which is, you know, front side, back side, painted over the back and up under the belly, and, you know, specific sizes, specific to your catch. And then we paint from picture reference, so, you know, it's more like commemorating your catch. And then we also do 3D replicas, which are replicas that are viewable from all sides, intended to be, you know, suspended from the ceiling or maybe on a pedestal, something that's more of a showcase item, you know, to either sit on, like, your end table or, you know, if you got something fancy going on in the business or something, you know, hang from the ceiling. For example, maybe, like, school of four or five manta rays with six or seven Kobe's behind it, something really intense, things of that nature. So pretty much if you can dream it, we can do it. That's it.
Sweet. Yeah, man, sweet. I looked at the Flames, Fire, and Hot Rod replicas too. Man, I always keep my eyes on those. Some of those things are absolutely sick, dude. And for those that aren't looking at the website, if you get an opportunity, since we are internet-based, open up another tab there and go to mountthis.net and check out what we're talking about. Across the top of his toolbar there, you'll see that he's got all the things he just described, as well as the Flames, Fire, and Hot Rod fish mounts, which are just like just kind of crazy, man. I mean, some of them are kind of dark. I'm into it, you know. What made you decide to come up with those? Was that just something that was just fun? We just, you know, threw it together?
You know what? Yeah, man, you know, those things are kind of eccentric. Actually, how it happened is that I met this guy. He's a pretty cool guy. He's from the West Coast. He's over West Coast of Florida, that is, and he's over on the Newport Richey area, and he's been painting hot rods and Corvettes and freak buses, and, I mean, you name it. This guy paints it flame and old traditional, old-style flame, just a really insane artist. Matter of fact, he's sponsored by Matrix, which is a company that makes specialty paints like candies and pearls and really high-tech automobile paints. And we met up somewhere. I can't even remember where we met up, but then I told him what we did, make fish mounts. He's like, man, I've been wanting to paint fish mounts for a long time. And we sent him, a crate of fish mounts, and he started painting them. And then it was just like, man, this guy's killer. He does such good work. So that's where it all originated from. And now our flame mounts are in, you go to Vegas, you go to like Bellagio and all those places, they're in there, and we got them in New York City. And I mean, it's just pretty much, it's another one of those deals, man. If you got an idea, like you're a fan of like, a baseball team or a football team, and you want the logo incorporated with some really fancy, flame tricked out job, then he's the guy for it. And that's how it works. We make the blanks, we send it to him, he custom paints them in his shop, and then it goes off to the customer, so pretty cool deal.
Yeah, I think I've seen a New York Yankees fish that you guys did one time for somebody. That thing was nasty. Yeah. You know what, man? I'm a big fan of this whole, the replica mounts, getting away from the skin mounts and stuff. And it is a cool way to commemorate your catch and be able to, put something on the wall without having to take the fish out of the ocean or out of the river. And God, man, I don't think that there's a species of fish that you guys don't cover now, it seems. You got everything from California yellowtails to northern pike, so it's kind of cool, man.
Yeah, we're pretty wide open in the species category. I mean, we have over 5,000 molds to pull from. We've been doing this for over 10 years, and we've been, gathering molds as we go, so that helps us along. And pretty much if it's a species that, has a normal size and it's your regular sport fish that you're fishing for, then we can, we can create a fish replica for it. We got the mold to do it.
And
I got the echo in the background.
Oh yeah, sorry about that, man. I saw on Facebook today. Actually, you got a special running through tomorrow. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's just what we do is every now and then we introduce some new replicas. So we got six new half-sided replicas. I think we got a rainbow, a brown, a rainbow, a brook. I think three different trouts. We got a sailfish and two different mahis. It's just new models for us. And when we do introduce them, then we bring them out at an introductory price and normally about 35-40% off. So it's just. This is a deal we do, introduce the item, get people familiar with it, and then goes back on the regular rack after that. So I think it is. It's through August 31st, and September 1st we'll roll out that Snook promotion, since it is season starting, I think, Thursday, right?
Yeah, man. Can't wait for that. I'll tell you, guys listening as well, as far as affordability, I don't know of another mount company that does such good quality work for the price. I mean, anybody can go out and afford to buy themselves a nice wall mount now and not have to worry about mortgaging out the house to get it. So definitely give Troy a look. Again, his website's mountthis.net. Troy, want to give out your phone number for the company and some other contact information as well as maybe your Facebook page?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on Facebook, it's real simple. You just type in, Mount This Fish Company. We'll come up for sure. I think we have somewhere around 3,000 fans right now. We've been on it for about the last 6 months. Just kind of starting to get into it. But on the website, we're www.mountthis.net, and our phone number is area code 321-403-6677. Actually, I apologize. I don't know our toll-free number. But if you go to the website, it does list our toll-free number if you're dialing from long distance.
I got it for you, brother. I got it for you.
Okay.
1-888-584-6070. One more time, it's 1-888-584-6070.
Mention this show. anybody mention this show, they get 10% off of whatever they're, you know, they're interested in for sure.
Oh, sweet. No problem. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So well, real quick, have you been fishing at all, man?
Let's see. I went to Fort Pierce a couple weeks ago, and it was we played more than we fished. We had a little good snapper bite going on, and we caught some bugs and a few crabs, and it was all right. And the best fishing trip I had was I think it's been a month now. I went with the Brassy Hooker crew. I don't know if you know Brad Spaulding and all them, but we rolled over to Walker's, you know, Grand over there in the Bahamas, and played around with all the conchs and all the lobsters and all the yellow eye snappers and all the you know, all the fun fishing that's over there. So I got to give it up to them guys. They showed us a good time over there. So that's what we've been doing lately. In May and June, we fished five tournaments with Brent from the Obsession, and we placed in all five of those tournaments, mostly kingfish and cobia. So yeah, it's been a pretty good season for us, man. I can't complain, you know.
Yeah, I saw you guys killing it during the tournament series, man. That was pretty awesome to see you guys back up on the leaderboard again. And Brad, I can't wait for that Friday retirement party. It's going to be a ball.
Yeah,
well,
man.
Well, cool, man.
That's right. Well, hey, man, your show is great. Listen to it every week, and we appreciate you inviting us on here. And keep up the good work, and go kayak fishing one day, huh? How about it?
Let's do it, dude. Anytime you want, man. You know where to find me.
I know, and I know you know all the good spots, so let's roll.
All right, brother. Troy, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, hey, you guys have a good one. I appreciate you having me on here. You guys take care.
See you, buddy.
All right, man. Take care. See ya.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm telling you, man, Troy's a good dude. If Rob, if you should ever catch a fish worthy of mounting,
yeah, I know.
Get a hold of Troy. I'm telling you, man, you won't be disappointed. Hang on a sec. I got another caller from the 321 area code, which is my home. Who do I got on the radio?
It's probably D.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Is that D?
Hello.
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 Who is this?
Who is this?
Yep. Oh, well. So much for that. So, Rob, did you fish at all this weekend?
No, man. It was too windy over here. Either that or I'm a wimp. But 25-mile-an-hour winds and, you know, it's 20 to 25. It's not really a lot of fun for me. So stayed in. Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I stayed in, and the Dick's grand opening in Clearwater was this weekend, so I was out there Saturday. And it was cool. You know, they had, DOA products, you know, buy two, get one. If you spend $25, you get, you know, I had a coupon for $10 off. If you spend $25, Miradines were on sale, you know, so I stocked up. So I got about $40 worth of stuff for about, I don't know, just under $20.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, man, this morning I went to go fishing, and it was windy, as you had wind over there, I had wind over here, and man, the water is so filthy in the intercoastal right now. It literally looked like chocolate milk. And we had a hard time locating anything. I mean, there was a solid chop on the river. And there's no sight fishing when you can't see into the water. So made for a rough morning. We did happen to go to an area I'd never been to before, which I thought was really cool. And it's way back up in this cut. Rob, I got to take you there sometime in the kayaks, man. It's a bit of a paddle, but man, I wasn't in the kayak today, by the way. Too windy for that. But man, it was crazy. We went right off the side of the barge canal that I have over here. There's a big deep canal that connects two of our intercoastals together, and there's this little tiny like chute that moves on up through the mangroves, And the further back you go, the more fresh the water is. And we started bringing into, like, just normal Florida gar. Like, tons of garfish. And I was trying to catch them on the fly rod. It was fun. But, yeah, so probably the second or third time now in the last, I don't know how many years, I went home with a big old skunk. So, but I got out on the water. That's all that matters. It was fun. I got that 3-2-1 caller calling back.
Uh-oh.
3-2-1, who do I... Yeah, who do I have? 3-2-1-7-2-0. Who is this? Nobody? All right.
Okay.
But, so yeah, it was awesome, man. It was awesome just to get out on the water and not be in a kayak for once, believe it or not. I did find out something, though. I learned, Rob, that I need to lose some weight. Getting beat up in a boat, man. I was like, man, my belly's bouncing up and down. I'm not used to this kind of abuse. It was bad. But, no, I'm not planning on doing much fishing this week at all. I was going to try and get out again towards the end of the week, but with the water conditions the way they are in the river, I don't see myself doing it. Do you have any plans to fish at all this week, Rob?
Oh, yeah, man. Hopefully, well, it's a long weekend. You know, us government employees, you know, we get, you know, 18 paid holidays. So this weekend is one of them. So I'm definitely planning on getting out. I don't know exactly what day or what night yet, but it looks like a night trip. The tides are kind of wank this weekend. So it's at like 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, so I think the overnight one is a little bit better. So got some new intel and a new spot. So me and Keith are probably going to roll in there about an hour before high tide, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and see how we can do, man. So a little bit different tactics. But instead of having to paddle clear across the intercoastal, I'm hoping to find a place to launch the kayaks on the east side of the intercoastal instead of having to go clear across. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But last week, Yak Sushi was in town, and I took him and Sam out to the dock lights and here by my house.
And for those who don't know who Yak Sushi is, Yak Sushi is one of the proprietors of YakAngler.com, the greatest website known to man. Continue,
That's
sir.
Right, man. And anyway, him and Sam were in town, and we got, kind of got together with them, took them out to the dock lights, and had a great, good night, hot trout bite. A couple of keepers in there, but... nothing major, but it was just, it was a lot of them. We caught a lot of fish. So we were, it was a good trip. I'm telling you, Mark is the man when it comes to standing up in the kayak. You know, I know you do, and I know Dee does, and a lot of other people do, but I don't think that dude sits down in a kayak, man. He just, one-handed paddling and flipping and pitching like a bass guy, man. It's pretty funny. Good clinic. Good clinic.
Well, if you've ever seen him, he's like me. He's built like I am. He's a big guy. So to be as nimble footed as he is, to be able to stand up and do what he does fishing wise, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, especially doing that. I think he had Adam's Trident. And, that's not the widest boat in the world. And to be able to stand up and fish like that is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to touch on the Coastal Redfish Tour. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, Rob, but the guys from the Coastal Redfish Tour have just started this new fishing tournament series. It's both boat and kayak, I guess, qualifies both. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Captain Joe's Fish on Lures is one of the main sponsors. I believe he may even be a partner in this deal. But they've got a whole list of events. It's an actual series. I believe it's $45 entry fee per kayak angler. I think there's an actual association fee or members fee that you need to pay as well. It's like 30 or 40 bucks maybe. I don't want to mislead you. But something definitely worth checking out for the guys that are fishing on the West Coast and over here on the East Coast of Florida. I don't think that they go up into Georgia at all yet, but who knows? I'm sure that'll happen eventually. I want to try and get one of these guys on the show the next couple of weeks and see what it's all about. I know there's an event coming up here shortly in Titusville. Daryl, you might be interested in that. And I think they have one in Melbourne. I don't know. I have to look. But it's definitely cool. You know, I mean, I've been waiting for this for a while. I've been waiting for somebody to put together a series of kayak events other than the IFA. Just because, to me, it's, I don't know, I think that they don't put enough emphasis on the kayak division, personally, but that's just me. And it's hard for me to say that since I've never fished it, but I know people who have, and the turnouts aren't really that spectacular. But the prizes are good. Let's see, East Central Division. Yeah, here we go. Titusville, 9/17/2011 is the Titusville event. And they have a Cocoa event, looks like October the 15th. Melbourne hasn't been scheduled yet, and they have one down in Dee's neighborhood. Ha, the day before my birthday. I have to go down there and win that thing. Good birthday gift.
Well, you did good. You did good the last time that you were down there, so why don't you run down and see what you can do.
Yeah, it's because I had the watchful eye of Miss 1D Kaminsky to make sure that I was doing everything right. So... it's definitely a cool series. Like I say, it's something to maybe look into. They've actually got a website set up. It's coastalredfishtour.com. And let's see if I can throw you guys some extra information about it real quick. Registration, that's probably a good way to go. Let's see. I don't know. Rob, are you going to fish any tournaments ever? Or are you just kind of not into it? Or?
I'm not very good at that stuff, obviously. So I don't, as a rule, I mean, not as a rule. I mean, I probably will just for fun, you know. Kayak Fishing Classics usually has some pretty good tournaments.
Yeah.
But no, you know, a lot of the people that fish that stuff are like, you know, a little bit too serious for me. You know, it kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, it's a $35 association fee, I think is what it is. So once you pay the $35, then I think you're good as far as being, you know, a part of the tour. That's the same way the IFA does it for the boat category. They might even do it that way for the kayak category as well. And then it's an entry fee per event that you fish, and I think that they have a championship deal where you have like a fish off eventually, something like that. But they got some cool shirts and stuff they just printed up. Their logo is actually really sick. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Rob, but it's pretty cool. I like it. So yeah, check them out. Just
do you fish tournaments?
Do I?
Yeah.
I haven't fished any kayak tournaments. I've fished a lot of offshore tournaments and that kind of thing. I fished up north when I was a little kid. I used to fish little snapper derbies and stuff like that. I enjoy more so the camaraderie of meeting new people and kind of getting, you know, involved that way.
Yeah.
And dealing with the hubbub of the tournament itself. There's some people that fish these things that are just a little bit too serious for me.
That's what I mean. I don't down anybody that's like that. That's cool. It's just not for me.
Yeah. There's the Jacksonville event. I see he was talking about the Jacksonville event. I want to fish that, and if for nothing else, just to be able to network a little bit and meet some of those guys up there and get a chance to talk to them. You know, it's a great cause. That guy up there in Jacksonville, man, he runs a phenomenal show. I know that every year they're giving away like something like crazy, like 20 kayaks or something like that through the raffle and through the actual event. So his sponsor page is literally two or three pages worth of companies that donate stuff to his tournament. So it's cool. That would be a fun one to go up there and just, if nothing else, buy a bunch of raffle tickets and drink beers and not worry about fishing the tournament, you know? But,
That's, you know, you got to have fun with it.
You know, a couple years ago.
Also,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, paddlefishing.com has some pretty cool tournaments too. Like the, like they have a tournament, it's like a one lure tournament. You're only allowed to take, you know, fish one lure that day. Or the picket lure, you pull the number, and whatever your number is, that's your lure for the day, and they give it to you. I think you get two of them, and if you lose one, you lose them, you're done. So they do some pretty cool stuff like that. It's not just like, you know, going out there and, you know, throwing chunk dump mullet out there or something. I don't know. But
You'll never find me fishing a redfish event, dude, where you're allowed to use natural bait. I'm just not into it. I don't think that there's it takes absolutely zero skill to catch a redfish on a chunk of ladyfish. Sorry.
Well, you got to be able to reel it in.
Oh, come on. Listen, if you're a dead bait thrower and that's all you do, then I'm sorry and I apologize in advance, but come on. I mean, they're, like I said before, they're basically a glorified catfish with a spot on their tail. They'll eat just about anything off the bottom, so it's you know, to me, it's more challenging to get them to eat a spoon or a topwater or soft plastic or a fly. So, but, you know, and then also, too, I'm real cautious, man. I mean, I've fished in a couple tournaments down here before where I, honest to God, felt like I was cheated, you know. And guys would come in with a fish that just doesn't look right. You know, fish is all beat up and scarred and tail's all shredded and color's all bad and he's barely breathing. And, you know, it's that just puts a bad taste in your mouth. And I got into it. You're talking about guys that take it too seriously. And I'm not going to get too deep into this, but I had a run-in with a gentleman at one of the local tournaments. It's supposed to be a charitable event. Guys over the last couple of years have taken it a little bit too seriously. And whatever. The tournament was set up so that families – fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and mothers and sons and mothers and daughters can take their kids out and have an opportunity to win a boat. Right. That's cool. Right. And it's a cheap, it's an inexpensive entry fee. The only catch is you have to bring the fish in alive. So, and as recent years, the facility that where they do the weigh-in hasn't been on the water. So kayakers pretty much out. For the most part, because I don't know how in the world you can get a 27-inch redfish from the river, drive it down US-1 in a cooler with an aerator on it regardless, and keep that joker alive, you know? Pretty tough to do,
yeah,
but anyways.
I'm kind of curious, you know, how do you, in these tournaments, you know, how do you, you know, a lot of them are, you know, the catch photo and release ones, I understand that concept, but the live fish ones, how do you keep that fish alive all day? You know, I mean you catch that thing at 8 o'clock in the morning and you know, weigh in is at 3, you know, what do you do?
Well, most of the tournaments will start weighing in at like, say, 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, sometime early like that, and then the last weigh in will be later, you know. And I fish this particular It's the Hunt for Reds in October, and it's a spot tournament. It's bull crap luck. Okay, it doesn't matter how good of a fisherman you are. It doesn't matter how good of a fisherman you think you are. You can't go out and consistently target fish that have more spots than others. Yeah, if you can, somebody pipe up in the chat room and let me know if you can, because as far as I've ever seen it. Not possible.
They're just like any other redfish, right? I mean, except they just have more spots or something.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, we were fishing this thing, and we had struck out all morning long catching fish with anything more than two or three spots on it. We had caught a good number of fish, And it really is a numbers game. I mean, the more fish you go through, obviously the better chance you have, just like buying a lotto ticket. But we moved from the river all the way into the lagoon. We got in behind an island, got some wind protection. I saw something laying in a pothole. I threw a bait over to it, caught it. It's a 25-inch fish. He had 9 spots. So I felt pretty good about bringing that one in to the weigh-in. If I took 5th, I'd have been happy, 4th, whatever. Because you never know with that kind of an event. One year, I think a 4-spot fish won it. So, in this particular year, they're giving away a Ginu, and a completely rigged out Ginu with a power pole and a trolling motor and a trailer and like a 25 horsepower Yamaha, I think it was on it. Pretty sick little boat. But I didn't win. And I'm not sour grapes because I wouldn't even have placed if the fish that came in that looked like it shouldn't have been taken was taken. But prior to the event at the captain's meeting, the rules were read. And one of the rules that the guy had said was, if your fish comes in and he's bloodied, he's beat up, he doesn't look right, like he looks like he's been in a pen somewhere, we're not going to take him. Which makes sense to me. Because, it's not hard for you to go out, pre-fish weeks in advance. Luck out, catch a fish with 20-something spots, throw it into a cage, feed it mullet chunks or whatever until the day of the event and then bring them in, it's not unheard of,
Yeah.
And so I said, oh, that's cool. And then he also said, fish with spots will count. Fish with freckles, like, say, the fish has just a little tiny piece of black on a scale, right? It's not a round dot. Those won't count. And if there's 2 dots that are connecting, they'll count as 1. So it'll be 1 spot for 2, like a Mickey Mouse looking deal would be 1 spot.
Right.
So this guy comes in with the fish and he puts it up on the thing. And let me back up real quick. Everybody that brought in fish, the fish were extremely lively. And I think the fish got more damage done to them trying to get them out of the live well and onto the measuring board than they did getting hooked in the mouth, put in a live well, and released. And guys were, losing the fish into the bottom of the boat, and the fish are beating the heck out of themselves, spinning around in the bottom of the boat. One dude, he was holding on to his redfish, and it shot out of his hands and landed on the pavement. I mean, it wasn't good, And but everybody's fish was really, really lively, still kicking. And this one guy brings in this fish, and the thing is just, it's like white. It's not even like copper. And it's just all messed up, man. And his tail, like I said, was shredded. It looked like he'd gone through a meat grinder or something. And he had a bunch of those little freckles they said they weren't going to take and a bunch of spots that were connected that they said they weren't going to count as only one. And they took the fish for its full spot value, which put the guy in first place. He ended up losing to another kid who brought in a fish who fishes for Hell's Bay, who had a fish with 25 or 28 spots or something like that. But,
wow.
Yeah.
That's not a redfish. That's a trout.
Right? And so, in fact, it's funny you say that because I was joking around one day and I said, you know what, I'm going to catch a legal trout one day and just play stupid and bring it in and be like, look what I got. It's got 250 spots. But whatever. But going back to the captain's meeting, we're leaving. We're walking out to the trucks. Everybody heard the new rules. This is what the rules are. And one dude is just running his mouth about the rules. And then he says, because they changed it up where you're only allowed to win it one time. Okay? You only win this event once. And then you're done. You can't win it again, right? Which to me, in this type of tournament, makes sense. Okay? Because the tournament was developed for a family to have an opportunity to win a boat who didn't have a boat. Because waiters can fish it. People standing on a bank can fish it. I mean, anybody can fish it. And this one dude was just losing his mind about the idea that you could only win the thing one time. And I go, buddy, I said, it's not a big deal. If you win a boat, I mean, how many boats you need? You know what I'm saying? You win a boat, you paid $50 to fish the thing. It's not like you paid $1,000 to get into it. You paid $50, you won a boat, cool, call it a day, you're the champion. You'll never be beat. You know? You don't have to worry about defending your title next year. It's cool. And he goes, no, but what it does is it takes all the good anglers out of the tournament. Nobody with any skill is going to want to fish this thing. And I'm like, what? I'm like, dude, it's a spot tournament. I'm like, it's complete luck. A 14-year-old girl won it like 6 years ago with a dead shrimp. You know? I mean, not that hard, you know? Anyways.
I don't know any way to target multi-spot redfish. I mean, they're going to be in the same spots that other redfish are, you know, same places. So, I don't know, man. You're right. It is a luck tournament.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I've got a couple of my acquaintances that are actually nice. Steve Chapman just said he caught a redfish years ago with over 150 spots. That is sick. The most I ever had was, I think, right around 84 or 85 spots or something like that. I lost count. Yeah, I lost count, and I wasn't going to try and recount again, so I just called it by 85 or so. I lost count at, like, 79. He still had a few left to go. But, we get a lot of those multi-spotted fish over here on the East Coast. And I don't know if there's any truth to it. I had spoken to a couple of people who seem to know a little bit more about fish than I do, and they believe it's just a mutation that is caused by some of these fish inbreeding. Now, I didn't know fish could inbreed, but maybe it's just I don't know. Let's say get it in the pen for this year's tourney. Yeah, for sure. Rob Choi, I see you're in the chat room. Do you guys catch fish up there with multiple spots all the time? Or I don't know if you want to chime in the chat room there. Just curious to know, you know, if anybody else around the state or up and down the eastern seaboard catch redfish at multiple spots, or if it's just one of those weird things that we see down here.
I would imagine it's probably species-wide, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you know what's weird? I've caught more big fish with multiple spots than I've caught smaller, normal-sized fish with multiple spots.
Hmm.
So,
wonder why.
You know. Oh, yeah. Rob Choi says, definitely.
Hmm? You ever see one with no spots?
Yeah. Actually, my biggest redfish from a kayak, 52 inches, and he had not a spot on his body.
No kidding.
Looked like a giant croaker. It was the funniest looking thing I've ever seen.
I saw one in the FWC tank at one of the boat shows, and it doesn't have a It doesn't have a spot on it. It's kind of weird.
That's awesome. Dang, the one with 200 spots that Steve caught was only 19 inches. That thing must have looked like a trout. But I don't know. Tournaments. Yeah. Some people love them. Some people hate them.
I know. You know, and I remember a couple of years ago in the bass. I think it was some sort of a bass event. Somebody got busted, and they had like 8 ounces worth of weight stuffed in the thing, you know. And, you know, bass events are live, you know, I believe they're all live tournaments, you know. So fish is like barely alive, well, died, and, you know, sometimes they research, you know, check it out and all that stuff. Well, they found like a whole bunch of egg sinkers inside the fish that the guy had, you know, caught the fish, goes, wow, that's a keeper, and ends up stuffing it in, you know, stuffing it full of lead, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I fished in some offshore tournaments, not kayak related, but where I think the main rule that's broken is the distance where people run to. Obviously, that would probably never be an issue in a kayak-related tournament, so I don't see anybody paddling more than, say, 5 or 10 miles in a full day. But, you know, where guys would run out and go on the other side of the Gulf Stream and come back with a giant dolphin, and they fished a weed line, and there's not a weed line from here to Jacksonville, and you're like, where were you? And they're like, oh, we were 200 foot of water. And you're like, oh, nice. Right, sure you were. You know, you showed up 5 minutes before the end of the weigh-in, and you've got a boat that's got 900 horsepower strapped across the back of it. So yeah, I'm sure you made it just that quick. But I'll tell you what, man, there's a fish that I saw down in the South End Mosquito Lagoon when Dee was with me, and Mark and Adam were with me, that haunts me to this day, that I need to catch one day. And Steve, I don't know if you've fished or been down around the whale tail lately, but I see what you're saying here, your door spins. This fish had the whole tip of his tail was black. The whole tip of this redfish's tail was completely black. And it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, man. It really was. And I wanted to catch that fish so bad I couldn't stand it.
How big?
But just a stud. Probably a good 40-inch fish, 40-plus
wow.
inch fish. And the tails are the size of dinner plates, just fish everywhere. It was amazing. And we couldn't get one, not one of them to eat. Dee tried all her tricks. I tried all my tricks. Mark and Adam tried their deals there, and we just couldn't get one to feed. But, man, we were within a few feet of all of these fish. It was just totally cool. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what causes that, man. I have no idea. But it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I'll tell you what I did see today. I saw the new Hudat spoon in action. I don't know if you saw that from Bomber, the new, or not Bomber, is it Bomber? Yeah, Bomber makes it, Hudat. That thing's pretty sick, dude. I saw that Steve Gibson over there, your way, so he was fishing with one the other day, and they did real well with it. Have you seen that at all, Rob?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I haven't, I've seen it in the stores and, online and everything, pictures of it, but I've never used one, no. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
It basically molds a spoon and a spinnerbait together. And the only thing that I noticed about it was that it seemed to be pretty heavy. And every time that my buddy would throw it and it hit the water, it just like, man, it like blew up.
Sploosh.
Like, yeah, it was bad, like real bad. There's no stealth involved in throwing that thing. Again, most guys use spoons anyway as a search bait. They're not really using them. Well, I don't use them to throw at tail and fish, but it seemed a little bit heavy. But, man, the action it had was sick.
You know, one of my favorites, and you'll laugh because it's a northern thing. You remember the Meps gold, spoons up there, the smaller ones? A lot of times you use a smaller one, and those things, those are great because they don't make any noise hitting the water, it's just a very slight, bloosh, but it's not like, some of the Johnson Gold spoons I found are kind of noisy, when they hit the water, but the little Meps, man, try those, Meps Gold Spoon, the smaller ones, I believe it's the, God, I can't remember what size it is. I have to look in my tackle box when I get back upstairs. But those things are great, man, especially when they're, on smaller stuff, when you have to downsize and they're on a smaller, chasing smaller bait. Those are great.
Yeah, I'll tell you who kind of turned me on the Meps was Vicky. Vicky throws, not Meps, the Sprites. She throws little Sprites. And
yeah, those look pretty cool, too. I don't use them, but
yeah.
I haven't.
But remember when we were in the lagoon, she was throwing that thing, and she was wearing everybody out with ladyfish and trout and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. But, man, I just, those water conditions today just really had me kind of bobbled. Man, I haven't seen the river that dirty in a long time, and I guess just the rain that we've had has made it that way. But it was definitely like chocolate milk. I mean, I was fishing pearl white all day long because it was the only thing that I had that stood out. And then when I switched over from pearl white to black, thinking, well, maybe the contrast, the color, the shadow, whatever, I don't normally care what the water color is per the color lure I throw. I don't really read too much into that, but still nothing.
I think
man.
it's mostly a size thing, because you know, fish feed at night, and I'm not talking about dock lights. I mean, you know, they do a lot of their eating in low light periods, and you know, I think it's a lot of it is movement, vibration, but I think size is a big factor, because you know, for instance, fishing dock lights. I'm just using that as an example, right?
Right.
DOA shrimp is usually the way to go. A lot of times you get there, you toss in DOA, you know that there's fish in there. You know there's fish there and they're not eating it. So, but you switch up to a DOA curly tail and it's like more the size of what they're looking for. So, you know, they'll eat that set. You know, that happens a lot. I think it's more of a size thing, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm with you on that. I just, and the way that I look at it is this. I've never seen anything ever cruise through the Mosquito Lagoon or the Indian River or Banana River that looked like an electric chicken, anything, right? I know electric chicken catches fish, you know, and it's a great color. I've used it a million times, but I think a lot of it starts to get kind of crazy. I mean, it's, I know the saying goes, 99% of the lures that are on the market are designed to catch the fisherman more so than the fish. And color's got to go somewhere along in there. It's like chartreuse. Really? I mean,
yeah.
I've passed netted all over the place, never netted anything that was chartreuse in color. But it kills
it. I know.
You know? And yeah. I don't know.
I don't get that either. You know, that always messed with me. And for the longest time, I couldn't use, you know, bright colored stuff. I had to use... you know, natural colored lures. Because I'm thinking, man, you know, I never saw, you know, like you, I've never seen anything chartreuse, you know, ever. But the other day I just picked up a Miradine, and it was the first time I'd seen that interesting color, you know, and it was it's a hot pink back and a chartreuse belly. So we'll see what happens with that. I just, you know, like it because it looks a little bit different. But one thing you got to understand with color, Chuck, the light spectrum changes, okay, as soon as you go below the surface of the water. So you get 1 foot down, it's going to be a different color. You go 2 feet down, it's going to be a different color. So that lure, if you're fishing in, you know, let's say 4 feet of water, it's going to look totally different under 4 feet of water than it is at the surface. You know, so I think that has a lot to do with it, you know. So I wonder really what's the greenback really look like, you know, 4 feet down.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
A Meps Cyclops 8-gram spoon.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what you're throwing?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that thing weigh?
8 grams, said.
Oh, 8 grams. You already said that.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, 8 grams.
Sorry, I'm not.
I'll tell you, man. No, it's cool. A lot of the guys have were able to get out. Steve, thanks for coming on board, man. Appreciate it, and hope you get to make it again soon. And we need to get out and do some fishing, bud. He's about to leave the chat room, I think. So, but a lot of guys got to get out and go to Vegas for ICAST this year. I was not one of the fortunate ones. However, next week I'm going to what I like to call the mini ICAST, which is the Henry's Sporting Goods or Big Rock Sporting Goods show in Orlando. And it's basically a miniature version of ICAST. Except this year they're bringing on a bunch of hunting stuff too, which will be cool for me because I do both. But I can't wait to see all the new stuff. I saw Daryl was asking about the Ussuri shrimp. I haven't seen it yet, and I know the Ussuri is going to be there, so I'm going to have to hit up Ussuri, see if I can get
plastic?
A couple of samples. I don't know.
Is it a soft plastic?
Is it a plastic, Daryl? See if he'll post it in there or something.
I haven't heard of that one yet. But
yeah. I'm really excited about it, man. I'm ready to go look at some of the new Shimano products that are coming out. I want to see what Akuma's got coming out. A couple of years ago when ICAST was in Orlando, I was pretty pumped on the new Akuma stuff because they joined forces with Tiburon reels. And Tiburon reels are one of those reels that if you're not a deep sea fisherman, it has absolutely zero use for you. But if you are a deep sea fisherman, it's one of the coolest reels I've ever seen. It shifts on the fly into two speeds. So say the fish is pulling a lot of drag, it's in one speed. And as soon as the gears feel you kind of like start to gain line on the fish, say he swims at you, it switches over to another speed. So just automatically, which is crazy, you know. And but they said to Akuma, look, we're not fishermen, we're engineers. You know, we don't fish, and we don't know how to, like, really promote this product the way it needs to be promoted. You guys are fishermen and not so much in the engineering department. So, and this is coming from the two booths. They were in the same booth together at ICAST a couple of years ago in Orlando, and this is what they said. This isn't my words. This is their words. And they realized that they could use each other for the to make a better make a better product. So that's what happened. They decided they're going to go in and re-engineer all of Akuma's stuff and help them, you know, team with them, not just do it for them, you know. And I know guys that have been fishing some of the newer Akuma big offshore spinner reels and catching yellowfin tunas on them. And 5 years ago, you couldn't give me an Akuma to go throw at a yellowfin tuna. I wouldn't want to waste the line. But now, man, it's pretty impressive, you know. I don't carry them at the shop just because I don't get a lot of call for Akuma stuff. But I'm telling you, some of that new stuff looks really, really good. And all right, who else am I looking forward to seeing there? Oh, I want to see Seaguar. For those of you that are fluorocarbon users, Seaguar fluorocarbon is pretty popular. I mean, at least down here it is. They've come out with a new braid. So I want to take a look at that. And, there's a bunch of stuff, man. I'm going to definitely get up all the... Go ahead.
What kind of paddle do you use, Chuck?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't have a brand paddle. It's somebody's brand. It's nothing fancy. Just a regular old aluminum paddle. Yeah. Why, is there something I should be looking at, or...?
No. I was just curious, because I was kind of... looking at paddles because Mark, when Mark was here, he kind of gave me a hard time about my paddle and stuff. And
well, see, for me, dude, I don't paddle enough. I don't paddle enough to warrant having a paddle that costs anything more than maybe $100. You know, because once I get there, I stand up and I push pole. My push pole cost me more than my paddle did. But
yeah.
You got another caller. What was this, 304 area code?
Hello, it's Kayla.
Hello, Kayla. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. Did you get out and do any fishing this weekend?
I did. I actually just got off the water. I'm on my way home, and I realized that it's 8:53. And your show's about over, but I figured I'd at least call to spend for the last couple minutes, I guess.
All right. Did you catch anything?
I caught a couple gar, actually, and a channel catfish.
A channel cat. Did you keep it to eat it?
Heck no. Have you ever eaten a channel catfish?
No, I don't know. I don't know what you guys eat up there. I'm not familiar with your fish and your waters. I don't know.
Okay.
I know people that eat garfish, so, I mean, you know, it's not saying much.
I've seen people take home sail cats.
Hey, don't knock a sail cat. I've eaten plenty of sail cats in my younger days.
Seriously?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, they're good, man. But anyways, go ahead.
When I was a kid, big catfish too. And then I grew up a little bit and realized that my family was like hillbilly, and you're not supposed to. I mean, I guess people do, the hillbilly people, they're still around here, but it tastes like mud. Like, you literally can taste mud. It doesn't taste like fish.
That's why I don't like catfish, man. I don't eat it.
Whatever. Listen, dude. I've got a restaurant right down the street from me. Well, not down the street, but a little ways away from me. That serves what they call the freshwater platter. And it's catfish, it's alligator, and it's frog legs. And if you don't like alligator, frog legs, and catfish, then something's wrong with you.
I can eat gator, man. That's good.
I would much rather eat a catfish than eat a tilapia. How about that?
Really?
Wow. What?
Yeah, listen.
You're nuts.
When I come down
there for iCast, I will bring you one of my catfish.
I don't want your catfish. I'm talking about catfish that are here. I don't know what's swimming around in the waters of West Virginia.
You live in Florida. Catfish come from West Virginia.
Yeah, I see what Aaron's saying and what Rob Joyce said. That's funny. He's an Asian hillbilly. And
Asian
Aaron
hillbilly.
Said that, they're not cooking it right. But
Rob
Joyce, he's
like the man when it comes to catching, you know, big old catfish up there, man.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with catfish nuggets. Catfish is one of my wife's favorite fish to eat, man. I'm telling you. Well, you got to get it at the right place. You got to get it from the right place. You can't go to, like, Publix and buy a brick of, wow. You can't buy a brick of frozen catfish, take it home and cook it up. But, I don't know. But anyway, going back to tilapia, listen, if y'all only knew the waters that that fish lives in and the kind of crap that they swim around in, if do you even know why tilapia are even in existence in this country?
Yeah, for weed control.
Weed control, and also, too, fish farmers use them for poop control. And then the fish farmers realize they can sell them on the market because they had a white flaky meat that people, for whatever reason, like to eat. But they're basically.
Hey, Daryl posted the Yozuri shrimp in there, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah,
it looks
I took a
cool.
quick peek at it. Yeah, it does. But all right, enough about that. So,
do you know where catfish live?
I needed that to wash down the tilapia aftertaste.
Touché.
That tastes like motor oil and dead raccoons and stuff that are floating around in the ditches where them things live.
Yeah.
But anyway, so freshwater catfish are delicious. Learn how to cook. You'll love them. And that's all I've got to say about that. No, seriously, Rob, I'm not even lying. Next time you catch a sail cat, keep them. They're pretty good, man. I'm not going to lie about it. Delicious.
I'll take your word for it, man.
All right, buddy. When you come over here, I'll serve you some. You won't even know the difference.
I'm vegetarian, buddy.
That's right.
Most of the time, anyway.
I forgot about that, too.
See, I got a hippie on the line and someone from West Virginia, so I think this will be appropriate.
Well.
Oh, no.
Rob's a pita guy.
Hey, man, I got some Nag Champa burning and, you know, vegetarian.
Nice.
I had some tofu quinoa for dinner. You know, I'm good. It's all good.
I've got some Nag Champa burning, too, and I'm eating a...
catfish?
Cinnamon and sugar pretzel and a blue slush puppy.
Oh, my God. She'll be jacked up till 2 o'clock in the morning now.
Well, this cooking tip is brought to you by the unofficial food sponsor of Redfish Chuck's Fishing Show. It's the Smokehouse, located out of Port Canaveral, for all things smoked, all things edible that are smoked. Go to the Smokehouse Foods in Port Canaveral. Listen, you take freshwater catfish, dip it in, just don't do anything stupid to it. Dip it in egg, put it in batter, a little salt and pepper, fry it up real quick, pull it out and eat it. It's awesome, I promise you. And you won't want to ever throw one back, I'm telling you.
And what kind of catfish is this?
No, kind of catfish swim in the St. John's River. Aaron, help me out. Is that a channel cat that we catch down here or some kind of flathead catfish? I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's tasty.
Well, there's like channel catfish, flathead, bullhead.
I'm not a catfish connoisseur. I just know that when I catch them in the freshwater,
yeah,
I try to eat them.
But they're bottom feeders, like,
so is the redfish. And they taste good.
Yeah.
Redfish's mouth is on the bottom of his face.
Redfish
channel.
See that? See that? Aaron says that the catfish that we catch down here and eat down here are channel catfish. Blue catfish are good. Flatheads are all good. So there you go. All catfish are tasty. Buy a book. Learn how to cook, and you'll eat them. I'm telling you.
I just never liked them.
Yeah.
I've had, like, catfish nuggets before and stuff, and it's just, yeah.
Catfish nuggets are awesome.
I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I don't
know
how to cook. I don't know.
I'm just messing with you, buddy.
That's okay.
But, yeah, no. That's,
I have
a double dip
tip.
Eating them at a,
what's your
tip?
Cooking tip?
Hold on.
Okay. Trout. This Kayla's West Virginia cooking tip is brought to you by Redfish.
Kayla.
What you do is you get yourself some possum. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Kayla.
Wow.
Oh, I can't wait for iCast. I swear.
Cooking tip? You have one still, or are you done with that?
Go ahead.
She's gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. I was only kidding. Not everybody in West Virginia eats possums. Yeah, well.
Art's our only West Virginia kayak fisher. Come on, Chuck. Alienating listeners, one person at a time.
Come on, dude, that was pretty
sorry. Funny. It was great, man.
Oh, God. All right, we got a crusted catfish recipe put up by Double Dip. So there you go, Rob.
I see
copy
it.
And paste that. Copy and paste it. She just jumped back in. Hang on a second.
Copy and paste what?
Didn't even miss a beat. That's awesome.
Wow.
The catfish recipe that's in the chat room right now. It's a cornmeal crusted catfish. Dude, that sounds awesome. I'll tell you what my favorite.
I'm gonna try that.
Let's hear your recipe, Kayla. Come on, spit it out. Let's hear this.
Well, we can hear Chuck's first. Mine can be the finale. What is it, Redfish Chuck?
Give me a break. All I was gonna say is if you like to use like a thick batter or something like that, the Japanese got it down, dude. Those panko breadcrumbs are the answer. And if you don't like those, then I like to use cornflakes. Yeah, man, cornflakes is where it's at. Crush up some cornflakes in a Ziploc bag and batter your fish and throw it in the cornflakes and fry her up. Good stuff. And that's a pretty good recipe, that allrecipes.com
one. That was pretty good.
Yeah, man. That's not a five-star diner kind of recipe from Redfish Chuck. That's just a, listen, that's going to clog your arteries and probably kill you in 5 years recipe. But
outside the Dixie Crossroads, is there a five-star place over there in Titusville?
Not in Titusville, but there's plenty of them in Brevard County.
Okay.
But, all right, Kayla, let's hear it.
Okay. My recipe is for trout, and it's my very own, like, I was experimenting, and...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it's a West Virginia recipe, like, gotta represent every once in a while. But they sow, like, on the sides of the roads, and, like, some peak time of the year, ramps.
What is that?
Ramps?
No.
Okay. They're... What? Ramps. R-A-M-P-S.
What are they?
Ramps.
Okay. They're miniature onions.
You do sweet jumps off them.
No.
They're miniature what?
Onions.
They're teeny tiny onions, like the size of a quarter. And...
Okay.
I assume they're just, like, pulled way too early. And my dad played a joke on me and told me it was, like, the greatest thing ever if you eat it this way. So I ate it. And it's the absolute worst thing you could ever taste. So don't ever do that. But I had a whole bag of them, so I wanted to do something with them. And I caught two trout and brought them home and cleaned them up and all that and opened them up. Brown trout.
Okay.
And I just cut them open and then took the ramps and put them inside the trout. And then put some seasoning, like, on top and, like, some butter, like a teaspoon of butter, and, like, put it in foil with the fish and then bake them for, like, 30 minutes or whatever. And when you get it out, the meat, like, seriously, you can pull it off the bone, and it is the greatest freaking thing you'll ever eat in your life. Like, it gives it that little bit of, like, oniony taste with the butter and the pepper, and it's, like, it melts in your mouth.
Awesome.
It sounds good, man. That sounds
if
good.
If I should ever get to an area where I can catch some freshwater trouts, I will try that recipe.
Now, I'll tell you my personal favorite fish recipe ever for preparation is, well, one of them anyway, is snook on the grill. Sorry, I hate to say that. I mean, snook on the grill, that's ridiculous. It's good.
That sounds amazing.
Just make sure you skin it for those that don't know.
I wouldn't recommend to anybody to try that recipe since the snook population is kind of low right now.
Well, let me rest assured in letting you know, Mr. Rob, that September 1st, snook opens on my coast and snook are going to die because my freezer is almost empty. So, sorry. But
man,
with the 4-inch slot limit, I think we've got a better chance anyways.
Yeah.
Seriously, you can't eat any other kind of fish.
I can eat all kinds of fish,
but
I love snook. No, that ain't going to happen.
Snook is really good.
Grilled soapfish, yeah. Listen, real quick, Daryl in the chat room said grilled soapfish. Now,
soap
for those
fish?
Of you that... No, soap, S-O-A-P, S-O-A-P,
yeah, yeah.
Soap. The reason why
that?
It says that, that's
yeah,
snook with the
is
skin
that?
On it. That's a snook with the skin left on it on the grill. They taste horrible.
Really?
I mean, I promise you. And that's one of the reasons why for years and years and years, snook were unregulated, because people wouldn't keep them. Because they, when
you
go to
use them for fertilizer. You ever see those, like the old black and white pictures, like down by Siesta Key and stuff, they'd be, I mean, you know, Sanibel Island, people would like have, I'm not joking you, when it looked, it was like, people would go out there and net, you know, seen net school, like loads of snook. And drag them up on the beach. And I'm not kidding you. There would be, like, piles of snook, you know, out there. People would use them to fertilize their gardens with and stuff, you know, fertilize crops with.
Well, that's why, because back in the day, when people used to keep fish for food value, they rarely ever, if ever, skinned them. They just cook them with the skin on it. And you cook a snook with the skin on it, and it literally tastes like you're eating a bar of ivory soap. It's disgusting.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I did not know that.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. Once you pull that skin off, it's a completely different animal, obviously. It's one of the best-eaten inshore fish, in my opinion. It's one in our state.
Absolutely.
But as far as food goes, food value fish goes, I've got three of them. Three fish that are on my inshore species list that when I catch them and they're legal to keep, they die. And that's flounder. I never release flounder that are legal. Spanish mackerel. I personally like Spanish mackerel. I think they're delicious. And mangrove snappers. I'll throw in a snook too. Snook too. But
that's a pretty good
mangrove snappers.
That's a pretty good list.
Dude, I'm telling you. I used to work with a guy who was a sushi chef, and he showed me how to clean mangrove snappers to take all the bones out of the fish and leave the fish intact, like leave the whole body kind of in the same position, in the same I don't know what you want to, how I'm trying to say it. Leave him in the same condition that he was in before you gutted him. You know, the whole skin on him, he still has his fins on him and all that stuff. But basically, you just cut all his bones out of him. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. He pulls the gills out of it, leaves the head on it, and that kind of thing, so you can stuff it. But then when you stuff it and you put it on the grill, you can eat the whole fish because you're not dealing with ribs, you're not dealing with spine and all this other stuff. And it's crazy. It's a delicate operation, to say the least, because most of the time the inshore snappers we get down here are only about 14, 15 inches. Sometimes you get them a little bigger than that, but a fish that size, you got to really be, you know, delicate with the knife. But you take that fish and you scale him after you take his bones out if you want to. The way I'll do them when I'm not going to debone him is I'll just gut him, open up his cavity, gut him out, and then take a spoon and just, because I don't have a sheephead. I don't have a scaler, so I just use a spoon, does the same thing. And I'll take all the scales off the fish. I'll score the fish a little bit and with a really good knife, and then pack them down with some Cuban-type seasoning and put them on the grill. And don't mess with it. Just leave it alone for maybe...
Put it in the oil?
No, just right on the grill. Maybe for like a medium heat, depending upon what your grill is. I consider a medium heat about, you can hold your hand over the top of the grates for about 5 seconds, and then that's it. Leave them on there for about 2.5 minutes on either side and pull them off. You can eat the skin and everything. Man, it is so good. Yeah, Rob, I have had
wow.
Hog or blackfish, I think it's the same thing, isn't it? We used to catch blackfish up north off of Long Island when I was a kid. And they are good. Those things are tasty. But
drum?
Pepper. What, black drum?
Yeah.
Or red.
So they get freshwater drum up there, Chuck. Like I saw a picture with Kayla with like some big drum, and it looked like a black drum minus the stripes, and it was I think it's a freshwater drum up there that they get.
That was the greatest day of my life.
I wouldn't eat a black drum around here, really, you know, unless it was, you know, like just legal size or something. When they get big, they get kind of nasty.
They get wormy.
Where do you get them around there?
A black drum?
What, big black drum everywhere.
Yeah, black drum
everywhere.
Certain
times of year, around here, like... Yeah, San Key, you can get, like, you know, 30 to 60-pound black drum tailing on the flats, like, in the springtime.
Yeah.
I'm moving. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I remember going back to Rob Choi said he's talking about blackfish or totog that they catch up there. I used to catch a lot of blackfish using green crabs up off of Long Island, Long Island Sound, and the Great South Bay, and out by Montauk, standing on the rocks. And I caught one time that was, it wasn't a monster. It was a couple, maybe 5-6 pounds or something like that. And that was like the most proudest moment of my life for like that week. And I kept like showing off the pictures at all the tackle shops I went to, and I thought I was the man. And we didn't eat it fresh that night. We ate it a couple days later. And I still remember how good that fish tasted. Blackfish are just, those things are amazing. But, yeah,
sheepies are good too.
What's that?
Sheepies are good.
Oh, yeah.
Sheep, I don't know.
I was going to ask that too.
Yeah, well, see, they eat, like, mostly crustaceans and you know, shellfish. So it's like they're, you know, those are such a good fish, eating fish, man.
I wonder if they
eat those, the big ones up there in Virginia and stuff. You know, like the big monster ones
Rob
that they
Choi
get up there.
And those guys. Yeah, I'm sure Rob Choi and his boys there kill plenty of them things. Yeah, see, excellent eating fish. I'll tell you, we've got some giant sheephead down here, too. The only problem is the ones that we have that are down here that are the size of the ones they have up there are all offshore. I mean, every now and again, you'll find one in the intercoastals that are just giant. But for the most part, they're offshore in deeper water. My buddy Josh spearfishes them all the time. Yeah, he'll be down there on a wreck. Yeah, he'll be down there on a wreck, and like an 8-9 pounder will swim by and he'll pluck it. He's just like, look what I shot today. This big, giant, ugly-ass sheephead's on the in his cooler, you know. You're like, God, I've never seen one that big. He's like, oh, there's one down there bigger than that, but they're smart.
All those ones that they catch up there in Virginia, man, you know. It's a big one around here is like 5 pounds, you know.
Yeah. You catch one that's 5 pounds, 5 to 8 pounds down here, you've done something for sure. But,
yeah.
Yeah, actually, my biggest sheephead I ever caught, I caught in the middle of the freaking cruise ship basin in Port Canaveral in about 42, 45 foot of water, something like that. And I wasn't even trying. I just happened to be floating away from the seawall and had a shrimp down on the bottom. And I was just changing out another rig on a different rod. And the one rod that had the shrimp on it started kind of bouncing a little bit. And I was like, that's weird, because I was pretty far away from any structure. And sure enough, come tight to it, and this big old sheephead. I don't know how much he weighed. He was big, biggest one I ever caught. And I get back to the ramp, and there's this little old man sitting there on a 5-gallon pail sitting there fishing. And he commented on the kayak, and I was like, yeah. I said, how you doing today? He's like, I haven't caught nothing all morning. I'm like, yeah, you want this big sheephead? And you just thought I just gave the guy the winning lotto ticket. I handed him the fish. He puts it in his bucket. He packs up all his stuff, puts it in his car, and he hauls butt. I was like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah,
but
those are good.
One.
What
did she say? Huh? Yeah. And it was like 12 inches. And I don't know like how much it weighed, but now that you guys are saying like they're not that big there, I kind of want to know like, was mine small?
Yeah, 12 sheephead's a small sheephead.
That's standard size around here, you know, but
that's a keeper.
To put that into perspective,
well,
you know, to put that in perspective with a big one, I think Rob Choi's citation last year was like 13 pounds something. I mean, that's a big sheephead, man.
Yeah, that's.
I can't imagine getting that in the kayak like that, man. It's just like having one big, giant, angry pinfish flopping around, man. Spikes sticking out all over the place and stuff. Wow.
Yeah, that's the one reason why I don't target sheephead very often out of the kayak is because I just don't feel like dealing with those spines on their back. But
they don't just get in the kayak and just lay down, man. Those things are like, you know. They're moving around.
That's so funny. I don't want to catch, like, sunfish here because of that.
Yeah, let me tell you what. Sunfish, God, are you kidding me? I love eating panfish. Those things are so good.
I love sunfish too.
You can lay the dorsal fin down on a, you know, a bluegill or a sunfish or something, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah, I know.
With the sheep's head, man, there ain't no doing that because, you know, big mm-hmm. sheep's head like that, you're lucky if you can, you know, grab the thing, you know, your thumb on the belly and the other one on the dorsal. I mean, it's just, and the mm-hmm. one couple of spines that stick out in the front of the dorsal don't lay down.
See, I'm jealous of Rob because those guys have triggerfish right there, too.
Oh, yeah?
They catch triggerfish while they're fishing for all those other fish, too. And that's, to me, offshore, that's my favorite eating fish on the reef. Triggerfish is like the pork chop of the reef.
Is that that fish that has like the three long dorsal spines, or is that a hogfish?
That's a hogfish.
I love them.
A triggerfish, just, I mean, they're basically the nastiest fish that swims on the reef as far as like aggressive. My buddy's been bitten by them a couple times diving, and they have one big spine that sticks up right in front of their dorsal, or I guess it kind of is sort of like their dorsal, and they have a little trigger that's just behind that spine, and hence the name triggerfish. And if you push down behind that main spike, you can actually collapse that spine down. It's kind of cool. It's like a switchblade.
Is it in the porgy family?
I think they are, actually. I'm pretty sure that they are.
Yeah,
anything
porgies are spiky.
We have two species of them here in Florida. We've got the queen triggers, which are absolutely beautiful fish. Lots of blues and greens and other colors in them. And we've got the, I guess they're just the common or the gray trigger, which I believe are the same ones that Rob gets up there. But, in fact, it was funny. I was watching Henry Waschek fishing, I guess, over in the Bahamas somewhere. And I don't know if they were trying to target triggerfish on the flats or if he just happened to be catching triggerfish on the flats. But it was pretty cool. He was catching the crap out of them, and he kept throwing them all back. And I was like, oh, you're killing me, because those things are just so good. But I got a caller on the line from the 804 area code.
Yeah, it's Rob chewing, man. Y'all got talking about this stuff, and I couldn't help but add to call in. I had a great story about triggerfish, though, man. I was looking for spades, and it's relatively shallow where we're looking for them, and I saw, like, a quick shape actually follow up my empty jig head, and I was just like, what in the world? I just dumped the empty jig head back in, and this triggerfish came up and actually snapped at the empty jig head and just, like, actually tried to hit the lead itself. I was totally shocked. And you could actually hear them through the water, like, up on the kayak, actually snapping at it. It was as wild. Because they have it's like a beak in the front, you know?
Yeah, almost like a parrotfish.
Wow.
They eat the hard corals and crustaceans and things like that down on the reef. Down here, Rob, when we fish for them offshore, we chicken rig for them. We use two hooks, sometimes three hooks at a time. And
right.
one of our favorite baits to use for triggerfish is other triggerfish or small sea bass, believe it or not. And you can usually get to the giants, what we call dinner plates or saucer-sized triggerfish, where, I mean,
they're
just absolute monsters, man. I don't know, the biggest one I've ever caught, I couldn't tell you what he weighed, but, I mean, I've caught some of them that were just monsters.
Where
is the other Rob from?
Rob Choi, I am from Virginia Beach, like the Chesapeake Bay area.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If you're familiar with Kayak, yeah. I'm familiar with Kayak, yeah, and I do so much with what he does.
Good.
How'd you guys fare in the hurricane?
I did okay. I'm actually in Richmond now, which is a little bit ways away. But I'm sorry, okay. what were you saying? Somebody else was saying something.
Kayla.
Me?
Yeah.
I have big plans and I have fish. Like, I've got a list. And half of them are evidently I have to go to Virginia Beach for, and the other half I have to go to Florida for. So, I need to start planning trips. And luckily, half the people, well, everybody I've met from the show is either from Virginia or Florida.
There you go.
So that's good. Nice to meet you.
You got it made now.
Yeah, you too. If, yeah, just I'm sure you can find me on either yakangler.com or Facebook or whatever, and give us a call or an email ahead of time. We can probably, you know, get you on some fish. So give us a little holler.
Yeah, they got monsters up there, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've
yeah.
been seeing, and then I start talking about a tarpon, and then they're like, "No, you gotta go to Florida for the tarpon." Like, so.
Double dip saying Texas. Yeah, man. I want to get out of Texas and do some wading for some trout. I watched a program on TV about that not too long ago, and they definitely have a really good trout fishery down there.
Andre,
we need to have boondoggles like once a month and just get them all over with.
Well, see, I'm playing lottery every day in hopes that one day I can just do nothing but boondoggle. My life will then become
yeah.
one giant boondoggle.
I mean, too.
But
that's my plan, buddy.
Right. I'm not able to just say, hey, this week I'm going to go to, or hey, let's, all right, cool. I mean, because I've got a bucket list of fish that I need to catch, and most of those would require traveling far across the country, if not across the world, that are left on the bucket list. So, yeah, those probably will never be accomplished. I'll tell you something that's cool since you like to catch trout, freshwater trout, that is. I've got friends of mine in town from England, and we were talking about fishing over there, the species they catch over there versus what we catch here. And believe it or not, there's actually a lot of kayakers in England. But down the road from his house, there's a trout farm. And you have to, it's like a pay lake, kind of. You pay to go fish there because once you put a hook in the fish's face, they don't let you throw it back. You got to keep it. So, I don't know why that is, but whatever. But they've crossbred four trout species to come up with this hybrid trout, which I guess they call like a tiger trout because it has tiger stripes.
That's insane. I've seen pictures of them.
Yeah, there you go. I've never seen a picture of them, but I thought that was pretty cool. And they were like, oh, yeah, you should come over here and fish for it with us, you know, have a good time. And I'm like, yeah, you got some streams I can go fly fishing in? And they're like, fly fishing? It was like, wah, wah, wah.
Oh, what about tuna?
What about tuna, Kayla?
Huh?
What about tuna?
Does he fish for tuna?
Over there?
Yeah.
No, not too often. They don't really get a good tuna run as much as people would think. They get some bluefins that move in every now and again. But they mainly fish for cod, for haddock.
Yeah.
Or like this really weird flounder thing that looks like a spade. I can't remember the name of it. And conger, they catch a lot of conger eels over there, which are giant eels. They're like 8-9 foot long and full of teeth, apparently.
Pike, too.
And pike?
I know some guys
pike.
In Scotland. I know some guys in Scotland that are like hardcore pike fishermen, and they only fly fish for them, you know?
Dude,
yeah,
I'm
saying
that's crazy.
Like, they go crazy for carps.
Yeah, carp fishing over there is huge. In fact, we talked about that today a little bit, me and my buddy, and he was telling me one of their favorite things to use for bait over there is dog biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, for carp?
I just
wow.
caught a
yeah.
carp the other day. Did I?
Really?
Have I already told that story?
Yeah,
like, I caught my very first carp the other day on flakes, frosted flakes, not the frosting.
Frosted flakes.
Yeah,
nice.
Like I Yeah, it was pretty much the coolest thing ever. I've been wanting to catch one for years. Thank you. Thanks.
No problem.
But I, you know, like the West Virginians around here, sometime I get to talking to them. And that's my dad actually said, those things are so dumb, you could catch them on cornflakes. So I tried it. And I seriously spent like last summer, the whole summer trying to catch one of them. And I went out and I was like fishing for crappie and panfish and saw like a whole school of them and got my little cornflakes out and I like got them wet to where I could like put them around my hook and they'd stay there in a ball. And I say the second cast, I landed one, and it was one of the greatest moments of my life. Like, pulling that huge fish out of the water, and it looks like a big, like, goldfish.
Big red gum. If you don't chew big red. Just funny. That's awesome. I'll tell you what, we've got carp down here too. We've got a couple different species of carp. They're all invasive species. And one of them is a grass carp, just a big grass carp.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest one I think I've ever caught was probably close to 25 pounds. He was down. Yeah, there's some giants on the golf courses over here. I was fishing actually for catfish. And this is a kind of funny story. Everyone's like, oh, you gotta use bread, or you gotta use corn, or you gotta use worms, or you got something other than a meat product per se besides the worms. And I was like, really? Cool. So I went down and I was fishing with chicken livers for catfish. And I threw out this chicken liver, set my rod down, I walk over to get a soda, come back, rod's dancing. So I pick it up, set the hook, and off to the races we go, and it was a freaking carp. Carp ate the chicken liver. Crazy.
But then I heard
a grass carp?
I heard grass carp is supposedly insanely strong compared to the... I mean, regular carp is supposedly pretty strong, too, but grass carp supposedly is even stronger, and better. Their mouths are supposedly shaped differently. I've never actually seen one, but like regular carp that I'm used to have the sucker-type mouth, like on the bottom of their head, and the grass carp supposedly like, looks like a regular fish mouth, you know?
It does. And I'll tell you what's awesome. I've actually got buddies of mine here that are targeting the things on flies now, and they're catching them on like 5-8 fly rods, and it's just like the most insane thing ever. In fact, if you guys ever get a chance, go out and go to the Drake Magazine website.
Oh, love that magazine.
Yeah, drakemagazine.com. And on the front page, there's a deal where you can look at the, you can watch some of the videos that were put in for the fly fishing film tour.
Yep.
And one of them is catching carp on fly. And the guy's like from, I think he's from, I don't know, some state in the middle of the country somewhere. But he's talking about catching carp on fly, and the reason why he loves it so much is he's like, where I live, you can't find a fish that'll put you in 100 yards of your backing like a carp will. And, you know, they're smart. They turn down flies all the time. And it's a really cool video. So,
what did you catch yours on?
Mine?
No. Oh, I guess yours was liver. But
yeah, mine was on chicken liver.
I put 3 in my pond to keep down, like, on the weeds. But I was told that they don't reproduce. So I don't, like, I don't know how yours are invasive. But I have been trying for 3 years to catch those things and hooked one on the fly rod one time, and I was flipping out. So there's like a 20-minute long video of me fighting this grass carp with my fly rod, and it ended up going away, and I lost it. but I cannot figure out, I can't find anything that those things will eat. They're the smartest fish I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, they're picky, that's for sure.
Yeah,
so
I heard
you compare it to those freshwater bonefish.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, when I hooked mine, I hooked them on just a 3,000 size reel with probably 12 pound monofilament back then. I mean, I was a kid fishing, didn't use braid back then, and I had to follow him around the pond because he would have spooled me for sure. But yeah, it was awesome. It was probably one of the toughest fighting fish I've ever caught in freshwater, and I've caught all kinds of stuff. I've caught the fish of 1,000 casts, the muskie. I've caught pike, yeah. I've caught pickerel, and I've caught catfish and so forth. But, yeah, pound for pound, man, those carp are freaking awesome. If you've got a pond somewhere near you that's it's got a few carp in it, take the time to try and catch one. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so... I don't know what else we talked. We talked about cooking fish. We talked about fish nobody would probably want to eat, which is a carp. We've talked about fish mounts, all kinds of good stuff. It's, yeah, it's been a good show, man. I appreciate everybody's everybody participating in the chat room. Appreciate you guys calling. Rob, I appreciate you calling, man. I never had you on the show before.
Yeah, I've never been. That's a great show. That's actually the first time in a while I've actually had a Monday night that I can actually do something, so... I enjoyed the show thoroughly, so good job, and hopefully I'll be back.
Yeah, man, I hope so. It's just fun. I mean, I try not to take it too seriously, you know. I like to bring on special guests every now and again whenever they decide they want to show up. I try to have somebody lined up for each week to do a little segment first thing in the off the bat there. Like I said, Troy, did you catch my interview with my buddy Troy?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, if you need any fish mounts done, if you've got a fish that you've been waiting to get mounted, like maybe a Citation sheephead or something, Troy Denson from Mount This Fish Company, mountthis.net, he offered up a 10% off. If you mention the show, you get 10% off your fish mount.
Cool.
Yeah, his stuff is really, really legit, dude. I mean, he does such a good job. And he's such a cool dude, and he's a fisherman just like us. He doesn't kayak fish yet, but I'm going to put him in a kayak here in the next couple of weeks. And, yeah, that'll be that. But he's a hell of a fisherman and a heck of a nice guy. And I'll tell you what, funny story real quick. We were fishing in an offshore tournament, and at the captain's meeting, they were doing a raffle, and he raffled off a rooster fish mount that was just the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. As far as just the mount itself, I mean, rooster fish are crazy looking as it is, but the mount was just absolutely insane. And he calls out the number, and I thought I won it. I was just about to stand up, and then he calls out the number again. I look, and I was one number off, and the dude who won it like was all stoked. He walked up there, and I won like a gift basket of vodka and rum, and so I was griping, but... I walk over to the guy. I'm like, dude, I'll trade you this gift basket full of liquor for that fish mount. And he's like, no way, man. I'm so bummed. But check out his website from every now and again and see what he's got going on. Every now and again, he puts something on special. Like, he's always got something going on.
Cool, man.
I was just looking at it a minute ago. What the heck did he have? He had... fish mounts that were in stock that were ready to ride. He has everything down to fly and fish and stuff. The smallmouth bass, he's got a 20-inch smallmouth bass replica mount. Normally $160. It's got it on sale price for $99. You're saving $61. So crazy stuff like that. But, yeah, there you go. Mount This Fish Company. Yeah, and he's a local guy to me. He's right over here in Merritt Island, which is about 25, 30 minutes from where I live. So I like to try and support local folks, American made, that kind of thing. I think, who do I have next week? I don't know if I have anybody lined up for next week or not. But I did. I don't know. Well, folks, we've gone another hour and 40 minutes. It seems to be like my magical number where I start to get tired and start yawning and run out of things to talk about. But what I'm going to do is next week, I think it's Wednesday, the 7th, I believe, is the show I'm going to, the Henry Show in Orlando. So the following Monday, which will be 2 Mondays from now, I'll have a pretty cool report back from that with all kinds of cool, neat stuff. And I'm going to hit up all those guys hard for some freebies, throw out some freebies to you guys. I'm not going to call them the bad back. What do you call them? The bad-tastic prize packs. They'll be like, they'll just be prize packs because nothing sounds cool like that in my name. So, yeah, just see what we can do and what kind of neat stuff I can get my hands on and take a look at. And I don't know, man. I'm really kind of pumped about seeing that Akuma stuff. And I'm a diehard Shimano fan, so it's a little weird to say it, yeah, that and then that braid. I definitely don't want to check out that shrimp. That thing looked pretty cool, didn't it, Rob?
Yeah, pretty slick looking.
Is this like a throw it in your face kind of deal, buddy?
If you take it that way, then I apologize. I mean, get into the industry, work at a tackle shop, and you two can be going to the tackle shop.
I want to work at a tackle shop. If you can find me a tackle shop that's hiring, like in Florida or Virginia, let me know and I will move tomorrow.
Yeah, it's really not that glamorous, I promise you. But But I'm just saying, I'm trying to think of reasons to get guys to come back to the show next week, or I mean 2 weeks from now. So that's why I was saying it, not to put it in your face. Sorry.
I know. I was just kidding.
Yeah, but that's it. And I hear my son in the other room starting to cry, and that's my cue to get off here and go comfort him and put him back to sleep. So again, I appreciate Troy Denson coming on tonight. That was really cool. Again, check out his website. It's mountthis.net. You can check him out on Facebook. You know, he's got a Facebook page. Become a friend of his. Mention that you heard him on the show, if you don't mind. So here he knows he's getting something out of coming on the show. And they do some giveaways every now and again. You know, you answer a question, he'll post up a picture of some weird-looking fish, and if you know what it is, then he throws you a hat or a shirt or something like that. And Rob, I always appreciate you coming on, man. You're like my unofficial co-host. And
no problem, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Cool. Kayla, thank you very much for calling. Rob, what's your I can't remember your, and it's a badbadcast.com, right?
You got it.
Cool. Check out Rob's blog, a badcast.com.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting late for me.
That's right.
Rob Choi, man, I appreciate it again, buddy. Big fan.
Don't forget Rob's blog.
Yeah, Rob's blog.
He's anglingaddict.com.
There you go. Anglingaddict.com.
Got it.
Cool. Kayla, you don't have a blog. So thanks for coming on. I appreciate you giving us cooking tips and other shenanigans. And Daryl, man, I appreciate you being in the chat room. I know Aaron has already checked out. Aaron, I appreciate him always coming on. He's cool. Double dip. Appreciate it, buddy. And there's Aaron. He's back. Thanks, Aaron, for being here. I'm about to sign off here in a minute. Check out my website. I promise I'm going to start writing more. It's chuckskayakadventures.com. If you want to book a trip to fish the Indian and Banana Rivers, get a hold of me. I'll put you on some fish.
I do. I want to book a trip.
No, you don't have to book
Thank
a trip.
You.
You're allowed to come on whenever you want, buddy. And, yakangler.com. Check them out. If you're not a member, you need to be a member. Check out Heroes on the Water. Those guys do a really good job of getting military veterans out, putting them in kayaks and helping them heal the only way that you should be healing, keeping them off of medications and all that other crazy crap that the VA always wants to put people on. And Yeah. HandlerFishandSupply.com, and that's pretty much all I got. Yeah.
Did you like my my other tunage that I sent you?
Dude, I wish, man, you should have uploaded that for me tonight. I'd have put that on here. I'd have signed off to that. The mandolin thing was awesome. Appreciate it, buddy.
I sent you some other stuff, man.
No, I know. I heard it. It was awesome. I'll call you later.
Cool.
All
right.
Cool. Well, anyway, people, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening. We'll do this again next Monday, same time, same place. And, yeah, again, ChucksKayakAdventures.com. Check me out on Facebook. If we're not friends, be my friend. I want to be your friend. And as always, I say goodnight to my boys when I sign off. So, Trey, Logan, please sleep through the night. Daddy needs to sleep. I love you, boys.
Aww.
Talk to y'all later. Good night.
Later.
Good night.
Redfish Jock.